Right. How many of you are singing along there? Boy, just sort of enjoy those old songs, don't we? All right. If you have a Bible tonight, we'd ask you to turn to the book of Amos. That's where the pages are stuck together in your Bible. The book of Amos, that's one of the minor prophets. And find Jeremiah, Isaiah, and turn to the right. You'll run into the book of Amos. When you find Amos, turn to chapter 7, and we'll be preaching out of there. It goes along with some of the things that we were facing in 2 Kings chapter 17. So I would also invite you to find 2 Kings 17 and stick maybe a pencil or something in there that you might have it, and we'll be turning to it quite early in the message tonight. As I said earlier, we are finishing up this series for a while. We have finished it and left it and preached on other things, and then we've come back to it, I think, four times. And we started at the close of the book of Genesis, and we've gone through the entire Old Testament since I've been the pastor of the church. And we've covered, I think, almost every book in the Old Testament. We did not spend a lot of time, I think, on Lamentations, so we did not spend a lot of time on Leviticus. But we are trying to give a good understanding of the entire Bible. I think people that love the Lord, they say they believe the Bible, they say they follow the Bible. Well, then you ought to know the Bible. And we are trying to understand it to the best of our ability as the Holy Spirit leads us. There's a verse in the New Testament that says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." The Word of God also says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." What that is talking about, it's talking about the Old Testament, that it's written and we have it recorded for our warning, for our admonition, that we might learn not to fall in the same pits or the same problem areas that the people in the Old Testament fell into. The nation of Israel has had quite a relationship with the Lord. We're at the place in our study in the Old Testament where God has put up with their rebellion for over 210 years. And in 2 Kings 17, which we'll be turning to in just a few minutes, we preached on this a week or so ago. We said, God said there, "I want Israel removed out of my sight. I'm even tired of looking at them." Well, is God done with Israel? No. God's got a lot in store for Israel, even in the future. But understand this. God will only put up with your rebellion so long, to where He's had enough. The number one sin of Israel is something that we ought to continually remember. And might we not be guilty of that? How many of you remember what the number one sin of Israel is? What is it, Cindy? Ignoring God and leaving Him out of their lives. They continually did that. And I look at my own life when I look at Israel. Well, it's almost like a mirror. And I go, how can they be so stupid? And I sometimes have to say to myself, how can I be so stupid? I know they told us in Bible college, never use the word stupid. But I guess it fits. We've got to be pretty ignorant to follow some of their same footsteps. And we just learned here in the last couple of weeks, Israel fell into persecution, and Israel fell into slavery, and they were carried away. And what did Judah do 120 years later? Judah followed the same footsteps. They didn't learn. And we sometimes don't learn the lessons that we have in the Word of God. We need to be people of application. We need to be people, and we need to understand that these things are relevant to us. What Israel's relationship was to God also will picture our relationship. It's a microcosm. It's a miniature picture of what we're dealing with in our personal relationship with the Lord. We see in Amos chapter 7, and thank God for the Amoses. We need Amoses. If there's ever a time in the nation, in our nation, that we need some Amoses, it's right now. Men of God that would stand up and just declare God's Word. We have too many sissy preachers that are afraid to preach what the Bible says. And it is a frightening time. I see what the mayor of Houston is doing with the preachers down there, and then I hear about other things that's going across our nation. We support the CLA, and we get letters from them quite often. And I'm amazed at what's going on across our nation. And we had problems after problems when I pastored on the West Coast. We had the school system attack us because we had a private school. And they tried to levy things against Christian schools. They got, of course, they're involved with the government, and the government started levying all these things against Christian schools. They decided to call a meeting. And so we got David Gibbs to come out. He flew out. He was there in the meeting. I was there. A number of us were there, a number of preachers. There were so many people interested in this meeting that the place they had, the school they called it at, was not large enough to hold us. Their comment was, David Gibbs got up and said something, he said that he was representing us as our attorney. Their comment, they had a little meeting, a little sidebar there, and they stood up and said, you're well represented. We had no idea there were so many of you. And so we want to rethink this. Well, they rethought it all right, because the Christians weren't going to stand up for what the government was trying to do. And folks, it's a sad thing when good men do nothing. It's a sad thing when good men let bad things start happening and won't stand up and say something. I don't have that ability to be quiet. You have to forgive me. But I think we ought to say things. The things that are wrong are wrong. We ought to say so. I do it with a smile. Huh? Loving, kind spirit. But we ought to stand up for what's right. Amos chapter 7, verse 10. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Amos 7, verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam. Now, this is not Jeroboam 1, this is Jeroboam 2. King of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel, the land is not able to bear all his words. All right? This preacher is in charge of all the preachers under this king, except Amos. And Amos is causing a problem. He's standing up saying what God wants him to say. And you notice this priest doesn't like it. Verse 11. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. That's a lie. He never said that. And Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away unto the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. In other words, get out of here. We're tired of hearing you. I mean, you go back to Judah. Leave Israel. Verse 13. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. Verse 14. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I the prophet's son. But I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Well, a lot there to deal with. Father, bless now this effort of preaching. Lead us in this. We need your help tonight. Thank you. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for being involved in our lives. Thank you for the good Bible that we have, that we can learn these things. Bless now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your finger in Amos, and if you would, go to 2 Kings chapter 17. We preached on this, last Sunday night, and then I think we looked at it again the week before. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Kings 17, verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the king of Israel that were kings of Israel that were before him. We notice that he was a bad guy, but not quite as bad as some of the others. Verse 3. Against him came... Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. Now here the king is trying to keep the pagan away, trying to keep them guys away, so he's giving him presents. And the king of Assyria found a conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no presents to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year, and therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Well, we got some real serious issues going on here. Now, notice what the Word of God says down to verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen. Now we're talking about Israel, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower and the watchmen to the fenced cities. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense. We know what that is from Baal worship. Verse 11. And there they built incense in all the high places, and as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols. We're talking about Israel. Whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, and did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected His statutes and His covenant that He made with their fathers, and His testimony which He testified against them, and they followed vanity or emptiness, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left off all the commandments of the Lord their God, made them molten images. We go, whoa, wait a minute. That's what they were doing when they left Egypt. They're right back at it again. See, Israel's always had a problem letting other things take the place of God. That's idolatry. When anything takes the place of God, that's nothing but idolatry. Verse 17. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantment. See, they're bringing their children into these things. How sad this is. I mean, we look at these verses and Israel's taken into captivity. They sinned against God. They rebelled against God. They had problems with idol worship and the high places and the immoral things that they were getting involved in. They caused their own children to follow their sin. And finally, you get down to verse 23, and God says, I want them removed out of my sight. I'm tired of looking at them. And this is a sad portion of Scripture. Now, as we look here at 2 Kings, we see sort of the attitude and the spirit of Israel. We got a prophet back over there, Amos. And Amos said in chapter 7, verse 14, he said, I was minding my own business. I wasn't doing anything but farming. Don't you love farmers? Huh? You know one thing I like about farmers? They got a strong handshake. When Ted's hand's not messed up, he injured his hand. Boy, you get a hold of Ted's hand, you know you got a hold of a man's hand. Boy, he's been a farmer. Huh? My son has people like that in his church, and I was up there a few weeks ago, and one of those old guys, I think he's 80 years old, but boy, when you shake his hand, you know you shook a hand. And don't you love farmers? Huh? I love farmers. And here he was. Amos was farming. I mean, he's taking care of the flocks and doing what needed to be done there on the farm. And you'll look back at the book of Amos, and as you look at that, and as you think of it, you see here in verse number 16, here's his response. Now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. And his response was, well, let me just tell you, I don't necessarily want to bring you this message, but this is from God. God called me, and I'm going to give you what He said for me to give you. Boy, don't you like it when a preacher will just preach the Word of God? Well, I get so tired of these pansy preachers on TV. They almost say something. I mean, they get real close. And boy, just it's just sad. It really is. Amos's message was for the northern kingdom. That's Israel. And understand that Samaria was the capital. And you know, he was not from the northern kingdom. He was from Judah. And as we look at this tonight, I'm not preaching a message tonight to Israel. They're not here. But I am preaching tonight to our local church. And I believe there's something relevant here. And there's something that we can apply. And as we look at Israel, maybe we can see a glimpse of some of the roads we've been traveling down. Maybe it can give us a picture. As we look at this, and as we look at Israel, we go, boy, they blew it there. And I know as we were reading some of that, you were saying, oh my, they're not treating God right. And as we looked at some more, you probably said, boy, that sure wasn't right. Boy, that's nothing but rebellion and disobedience. Oh, they got a stiff neck? Oh, that's awful towards the Lord. But then I look at Israel and I sometimes see myself. I sometimes see the mirror or look in the mirror. And I see sometimes my own attitudes. And it saddens my heart. And I'm glad God can still prick my heart and say, you ought to do better. You ought to treat me better. I'm glad that He does that kind of thing. And thank God for the Amoses in our lives. And many of us have had Amoses. And boy, they preached. And you knew you were in a holy time because the God was getting a hold of your heart and speaking directly to you. And as we look at this message for Israel, again, I think there's application for us. And what is God saying? Well, in our text in Amos, we have the king, Jeroboam, and this is before Hoshea, and this is Jeroboam 2, not 1, but 2. This is about 180 years after the first one, this time that we're in. And Israel was disobedient to God, and God's response was, I put up with you for over 210 years. Your rebellion and your neglect of me and you're forgetting me and you're not listening to me and you're following other gods. Boy, doesn't it set in your heart that people that say they love Him treat Him in such a way? And as I look at this, Israel had been disobedient, letting other gods rise up in their own lives, letting things take the place of God. And God's cup of their rebellion got full. And what's He end up saying? I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm done. And as we look at this, some might say, how could God do this? Well, remember, He's put up with their rebellion for 210 years. He's put up with a lot. God has sent prophet after prophet. If you're back there in 2 Kings, I think verse 17, or chapter 17, verse 17. Verse 13. He sends prophets. And all they say is, turn around, Israel. Repent. Boy, we see God's mercy in even sending the prophets. And He did. And their message was, turn. And what did He get back? They were stiff-necked. That's what it says in 2 Kings 17, verse 14. They were rebellious and stiff-necked towards God. And what was Amos saying? Well, Jeroboam too was wicked. And he ruled Samaria. And now realize this. Right here in our text in Amos chapter 7, we see that he has a minister of religion. His name is Amaziah. And he's an ecumenical kind of preacher. And he wants everybody to get along and just do what the king says. And his office is in Bethel. Well, guess where God sent Amos? To Bethel. That's where the king goes for his time of chapel. And here comes old Amos. And he's preaching what God is saying. You better turn around, Israel. You better repent. You're going the wrong way. You're sinning against God. You better turn around. God's put up with it for 210 years. One day God's going to be done with this. And they wouldn't listen. They would not listen to Amos. And you know, here he said, you know, I was minding my own business. I was being the farmer that I was supposed to be, tending the flock and gathering the fruit. And God called me, and He called me to come and tell you you're headed down the wrong road. And it's time to turn around. It's time. Boy, there's times, don't you wish you could take people and shake them? Say, wake up. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Can't you see what's happening? Many times people in it can't see what's taking place. They can't see their neglect of God. They can't see that their relationship with God has eroded with other things. And it happens to us so easy. I've seen it happen to preachers. And they can't see it when they're in it. And you want to stop and you want to shake them and say, please wake up. Thank God for the Amoses that can come and ring our doorbells or ring the bell. I thank God for my good friend, Brother Elliot, who was with us here a few weeks ago. He's a blind evangelist for you that are new. He's a man of God. Every time I'm around Brother Elliot, it draws me closer to the Lord. That's why I like having him. Maybe I don't really have him for you guys. Maybe I have him for me. I don't know. But I like people that draw me closer to the Lord. I don't have too many preacher friends that draw me away from the Lord because I don't want those kind of friends. I don't want those kind of people in my life. I want them out of my life. And I like when somebody was walking out during one of the nights of our revival and they said, boy, he rung the bell tonight. That told me something. Amen? Don't you like it when a preacher rings the bell in your life? But see, it's not the preacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one doing the work, not the preacher. The preacher's just a mouthpiece. He just stands up there and gives it to you. You know, they needed Amos. You know why? Because their sin was great. And they had many of them. We looked at some of their sins in 2 Kings 17, verses 7 through 18. They had a whole bunch of sins. And their sin had placed them in jeopardy. And here's what's bad. They thought everything was okay. You know, the economy's all right. We're prosperous. Our military's pretty strong. Everything's going pretty good. That's sort of like America. We're prosperous. Got a strong military. And you know what America's doing? Continually, every day, we're being taught to turn our back on God. Because we're doing pretty good. We're something. We're really respected. Well, that's declining. Huh? I read a man from Europe. I was reading his book, and he said this in his book. He says, when America forgets their God, America will stop being a good nation. We better pay note to that. Better pay note to that. We better realize what made us great. Huh? It's because of where God was in this nation. He was something very important. When was the last time you had good, strong devotions in your house with your family? When was the last time you had a good Bible time together and you learned something in your family? Daddy, when was the last time you sit down with your wife and you showed her something from the Word of God that God had showed you? When was the last time your children walked up to you and said, hey, I've been reading the Bible, and I got a question. We get our lives so busy with this, with watching TV, with all the busyness of life, we forget to take time for God. And one day we wake up and we go, wait a minute, I was over here, now I'm over here. How'd I get over here? It happens. Because we let things erode our relationship with God. And they slip into our lives. And we don't even realize they're there. I was talking to a man that came to my office, not here, in another church. The problem was porn. He and his wife were getting ready to get a divorce. He said, Brother Ron, it started so simple. Something just popped up on my computer. And he said, you know, I sort of thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe I'll look a little more. And then he got away from it, said, no, I'm not going to do that, 3 or 4 months. Then it popped back up. And now he's sitting in a preacher's office saying, preacher, tell us how to save our marriage. You should have never taken the first look. And these things can happen this quick. How do you think the kid gets hooked on heroin? He didn't go out and just take a big old shot of heroin. He starts with alcohol, or he starts with a marijuana cigarette. That's where it starts. And they end up here. Sad. It can happen to any of us. I had a preacher call me and say, Brother Ron, I've got family out there and they're having some serious issues. I need for you to go talk to them. And I go, what's going on? Well, he's a preacher. I said, okay. He's got some serious issues. He just called me and he sure needs somebody. Can you go see him? I said, yeah. Where is he? He said, at Hoover Dam. I said, okay. I'm supposed to go to Hoover Dam? He said, yeah, the police are out there. I go, okay. What am I getting into? He says, well, he's on the Hoover Dam threatening to jump. Would you go help him? I go, oh my. This is going to be on TV. You know, oh man, last thing I want to do is be on TV. I went to Hoover Dam. There he was. They said, can you go talk to him? I went and talked to him. Independent Baptist preacher. You know how why he ended up on the dam threatening to kill himself? Started gambling on the side. Secret. Little secret sin. And now he's got the bookies after him. His wife's getting ready to leave him. His children are so upset with him and mad at him. Their hearts are breaking. He's disgraced the family. And he said, Brother Ron, I don't even know why you'd take time. I said, well, we're here because we care. I said, just come down off the wall. Just get down. You're scaring people. Come on, the Lord can get you through on the other side of this. And he goes, well, I've done too much. I said, no, God knows how much you've done, and he can get you on the other side of this. And he eventually came off the wall. Not to my credit. The Spirit of God was working in his heart. Just needed a mouthpiece to be there saying, God cares. God loves you. I don't know what happened to his life. But I've seen people get into those kinds of things and just they let their lives get into a disastrous situation. When I was going to Baptist Bible College, I had a dear friend headed to Ecuador as a missionary. A man that was saved in a foxhole in Vietnam. We were students together. We were friends. He let the wrong things start creeping into his life. And boy, they took a hold of his life. And he ended up calling me one day and he says, well, Brother Ron, Kay and I got a divorce. I'm sorry. His wife and he had got a divorce. I said, what are you doing, man? He says, well, I guess she's marrying again. They're going to call some other man daddy. I said, won't you come and let us talk? Man, you're headed down the wrong road. And he said, Brother Ron, I've come a long way from Bible college. I'm away from that place. And I've gone down the wrong road, and I don't know why. Why? I don't know why I got on this wrong road. I know. I said, you won't want to hear this, but the reason you got on the wrong road is because you're rebellious. You're stiff-necked. You won't listen to anybody. You're going to do what you want to do. I'm not going to preach to you, but you need someone to be your friend. And your friend, a friend, won't tell you what you want to hear. He'll tell you what you need to hear. He came up. We talked for a long time. Spent the weekend with me. He left. He said, pray for me, Brother Ron. I've got to go home, straighten some things out. You know how far it had gone? He bought a building and opened a beer tavern. This is a graduate from Baptist Bible College. You say it can't happen. It can happen to any one of us. If we don't watch what we do, if we're not careful, the devil's out to mess your life up. And when I look at this, I thank God for the Amoses that have been in my life. I thank God for Brother Paul Moeller, who stood up and preached the message that God used to convict my heart to get saved. And then my pastor taught me how to live the Christian life. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And he set me down. He set my wife down. And he says, you folks need to change some things in your life. And boy, he was like a bull in a china closet. And he wouldn't have worked with everybody, but he's exactly what I needed. I needed someone to take a 2x4 and hit me between the eyes. And that's exactly what he did. And boy, you know, thank God for my other good friend, Carl Boonstra. And he taught me the importance of having God in His rightful place in your life. That God's important. And you don't take His work and just piddle with it. God's work's important. Boy, I thank God for him. My good friend, Sam Davison. I remember him preaching on the family and the importance of the family. And I remember one night, I was sitting there at Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. And I remember him, but he wasn't preaching to, I think there was about 1,260 people there that night. I don't think he was preaching to one of them people. He's preaching to me. But it wasn't him preaching to me. It was the Holy Spirit of God shaking my tree about my family, about how I treat my wife, about my children, about having proper relationship with God, with my children. And then I remember hearing a message from Brother Dave Hardy, and boy, it was like, you know, it was one of those messages where you didn't say amen. You didn't say praise God. There was a still quietness in that service. But God was speaking. And I remember He dealt with my heart and He dealt with jealousy. And I went, oh, I don't want to hear this. Because I was jealous of another preacher and had a terrible attitude toward him. And God rang my bell that night. And each one of you can remember preachers that God has raised up in your life and they've rang your bell. Why? They were the mouthpiece. And God was the one doing the work. Never forget that. Thank God for the Amoses. There's two things tonight, and I'm going to close. Two things. Something we've got to remember is there's always those that will proclaim the truth. Thank God for them. But there's always those that are listening. And how do you receive preaching? How do you receive preaching led by the Holy Spirit of God when He's raking your backyard? Some people get very upset at the preacher. Don't like what he had to say. Maybe it wasn't a preacher saying it. Maybe it was the Spirit of God raking your backyard, trying to get your attention. Huh? How do you receive it? You know, some people don't like a good old-fashioned Baptist church that's going to stand up and preach directly from the Word of God. Some people are looking for a place that's very comfortable. Very mellow. It's not confrontational at all. And there are those kind of churches out there. They have the music that sort of fits the society. And everybody dresses with these cool collared shirts, you know, and they all carry those cool Bibles. This is not a cool place. We're not. We're just an old-fashioned independent Baptist church that loves God We want to go out and witness. We want to go out and tell people about Jesus. We want to have standards. We want to have convictions. We're serious about this. We're not here to play games. We're very serious about this. Some people like a vague message. Oh, you can get those. Those are out there. Where the preacher almost says something. They're out there. You can find them. Sort of like I mentioned to our visitation group, a quote from Calvin Coolidge was once president of the United States. He went to church with his wife, and she got him home after church, and she says, "Well, did you listen?" He says, "Yes, ma'am, I did. I listened." She says, "Well, what did the preacher say?" "Well, he preached on sin." "Okay, did you listen? Did you hear?" "Yeah." "Well, what did he say about it?" "I think he's against it." Thank God for men that will stand up and preach the Word of God. But remember, it's God. It's God that's the writer. All men are the voice. That's it. Let God do a work in your heart. If there's been a distance between you and God, if your time with Him has been mechanical, might God stir your heart anew and afresh about your love for God. Might Christ mean something to us. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, Jesus can save your soul. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, boy, get excited about the things of God. Pass out another tract. Huh? 10 years later, still working. Says something. Father, I pray you'll bless what has been said tonight. We sure need your help. Thank you for preachers like Amos. We sure need them in this day and age. I pray, God, that as we think about this time of invitation, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray that they would come and be saved. And then, Lord, if there be Christians that need to do business with you, whatever it might be, I pray they might come and do business with you. We love you tonight, Father. And we want to show you that we love you by serving you. Bless now during this invitation time. Speak to hearts and lives only as you can. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as we stand to our feet, as the instrument plays tonight, if God has spoken to your heart, we invite you to come. Would you come tonight? Would you come? As we wait, do you need to do business with the Lord tonight?